very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we'll certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland.
Up the Ellerbelly.
My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
I'm Aoife Kearns, and welcome to this week's Sports Beat Extra. Coming up on today's show... Clonmel welcomes back its first Olympic medalist in 92 years. Oudrin speaks to Tipperary's Dara Lynch and Philip Doyle, bronze medalists in the men's double sculls at the Paris Games. We hear from Wexford's Sophie Becker, Tipps' Charlene Maudsley and former SETU Waterford student Phil Healy, who narrowly missed out on a medal in the women's 4x400 metre of the Olympics last week. We look back at Tipps' victory and Kilkenny's loss in their respective All-Ireland Camogie finals. And Oudrin will be chatting to Tomás McCarthy about the new Data hurling manager, Peter Queeley.
Sports Beat Extra. Beat 102-103. I've had my shells and
kicked in my bed, but I can't. Olympic medal holder, Dara and Philip.
On Wednesday evening, Clonmel's Dara Lynch was welcomed back to his hometown with thunderous applause. Hundreds of locals filled the Kickham Plaza to welcome home the town's first Olympic medal winner since 1932. We spoke to these people ahead of Dara and Philip's arrival.
My name is Aoife, I'm from Clonmel, and it's great to have someone be in the Olympics, and to win a bronze medal is fantastic for the town. Hopefully now 2028 we get a silver or a gold out of them.
And has it been a great lift for the town?
Yeah, absolutely, it's been fantastic. Yeah, it's really good for the town now to do this, you know, so everyone's happy to see all this, and the new plaza and all to have it in is great.
My name is Gavin and I'm from Clonmel.
And are you enjoying this evening so far?
Yeah, looking forward to it, can't wait to see him. It's a great achievement. I've been glued to the TV all throughout the Olympics, so it's great to see someone from Clonmel doing so well.
Billy, and I'm 10. Dara Lynch, he's good.
Did you watch any of the rowing on the TV?
I only watched one race.
We're celebrating Dara Lynch's medal. I would like to be in the Olympics with playing soccer.
Soccer?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm Shane, and I'm 6.
And what are you doing here today?
I'm watching the Olympics.
Oh, brilliant. And tell me what you have in your hand.
The Ireland flag.
What's the atmosphere like here this evening for people that can't see?
Oh, it's buzzing. It's absolutely buzzing. It's brilliant to see everybody come together for the town and for the lads. It's great.
And who are you with here this evening? Because there are lots of kids and families all around.
Oh, yeah. So I'm here with Shay, Mikey, Emma, Enya and Cathy. It's definitely giving the town a nice bit of a kick-up.
Kick-up at the Kickham Plaza.
Now you got it.
And in a special interview, Sports Beat Extra presenter Oudrin Johnson caught up with Dara and his rowing partner, Philip Doyle.
Lads, are you exhausted? You must be at this stage, surely.
Yeah, the come down early makes you a bit more tired, to be honest. Like, I slept, I think, 10.5 hours there last night, but I'm probably more tired this morning than I was after 2 hours of sleep. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's been a good 2 weeks. Like, we were lucky to get to finish up early. We had a week and a half in Paris, so we had a great time over there, and it's good to be back now too.
Also, the pair of you were out there for the full time. You didn't do the thing like where they came back and then went back for the closed ceremony.
Nah,
you were living it up, yeah.
Yeah, big time. Like, they, Fintan came back to go see Taylor Swift. Paul came back because he's racing world champs. So, like, to be honest, most people did stay out, and like, there's a good group there. And a load of Irish supporters. So, like, you'd go to this Irish bar every night and just chat to all the Irish support over there. It's good, yeah.
Must be a long trip down for you as well from Banbridge.
It's 3 hours, but sure, I'm used to going to Cork, so it was actually a bit of a shorter one. So, the mother was with me, so I had a bit of company in the car, and it's grand. Usually, I'm doing the journey by myself, but yeah, no, it's great. Like, it's actually sweet. And I've always driven past and never popped in, so nice to take that exit.
Absolutely, and what a day to do it as well. Like,
what a day, yeah.
I have to ask, the bronze medals, there's a lot of controversy around them. They were, a bit of them was built by from the Eiffel Tower, isn't it? But you got new ones, did you?
I got a new one because the first week I thought they were like indestructible, to be honest. And I was giving it to everyone. Everyone was touching it, throwing around their necks.
Yeah.
And after the first night, I woke up and I was like, Jesus, what's happened to my medal? And I didn't think I'd get a new one. So even the neck thing was getting ripped. So I was more worried about that, to be honest, because you kind of need to have a neck thing for your medal. But I got in touch with the OFI girl, and next thing, had a new medal in my hand. Yeah. So,
well, there's actually.
They took my old one too. Yeah.
He's getting fairly destroyed as well already.
Jeez, yeah,
that's what was happening.
I minded mine for a bit longer, but it's kind of going off now. So all this is tarnishing, and they're trying to figure out what's going wrong with his, like, and they're going to fix it and then try and get
it. You were just patient zero, really, wasn't
I think they're using mine for like research purposes.
What about you, big homecoming in Banbridge as well? I mean, the town of Game of Thrones, though, I mean, there must be some contention for King of the North, is there?
Nah, you think, but. They kind of have to do something because myself and Daniel Wiffen are from the same council, so they have three Olympic medals coming home and to the council. But I think there's a bit of something on in, over in Armagh, but Banbridge wouldn't be mad for too much, except for rugby and GAA and stuff. So
even after a bronze medal.
Yeah, the people of Banbridge are delighted for the success, but the celebration of the success would be more for the other side of the community, maybe.
Obviously, you talk me through the race because, you know, bronze medal in Belgrade, bronze medal in Italy, I mean, bronze at the Olympics, I mean, you're not stopping, are you?
Yeah, no, like, we were going very well, to be honest, coming into the Olympics and during the heat semi-final. We were clearly on good form, and yeah, the Olympic final, we knew anything could happen there. Dutch would have been huge favourites going into the regatta, and then like those Romanians kind of came out of nowhere. You could see I was wondering what was happening there, but I think the race itself, a lot of nerves kind of the week around the race, knowing that you're capable of doing very well. But then I think once we got going, like you kind of just know what you're doing. You've done about a million times in training, so yeah, just got the job done then in the end. Yeah.
The interesting thing I need to ask though, because obviously you went to Yale from Clonmel, Banbridge, you went to Queens. How did the pair of you end up rowing together?
It was just the best, I suppose, when you go to the trials. Like we trial constantly, and Dara literally narrowly missed out on making the boat for Tokyo that myself and Ronan ended up going in. And you never, like, they closed up the trials pretty early that year because myself and Ronan had a bit of success coming into it. And then we managed to pull in a medal out at a World Cup. Otherwise, you know, they might have retrialed the boat and it could have been a different combination before. So it's hard to tell. But then we pushed on and Dara came back and we had another trial. And he and I came out on top, but he'd only just come back. And there's a few other guys sniffing around. And then we had a few competitions where we just stepped away. And every bit of time between in every race, we just stepped away and stepped away and stepped away. And then all last year, we just kept ourselves ahead of the pack, chasing us, the young guys, the under 21s coming in with world championship medals and world champions under 23. And just had to be the fastest. So that's why,
I suppose narrowly missing out in Tokyo. I mean, going over and out to Paris and getting a bronze medal, you can't ask for a better result, really, can you?
Yeah. Like after Tokyo, obviously, because I did the whole Olympic prep too, and I was a spare. It's not the best experience ever when you're trained that hard and then you have nothing to come from it. So I kind of stayed over in America then for a bit after. Wasn't sure if I was going to come back or not. And then, like, once I started my job in New York, I realized, like, there was a bit more to, like, I still had a bit more left in me because I was still training morning and evening after work. And I decided I might as well give it a year and a half, like, what's there to lose. So I came back and honestly came back a lot quicker than I thought I was going to. So
well, we're delighted.
I'm delighted he came back too.
I mean, we heard Paula Dunham and Fintan McCarthy talking about sort of the presence of Irish supporters over for the competition. Was that something you two felt as well?
Freaking savage.
Savage. Like, all, like, even just the Irish supporters have like a really good name over there too. Like, we'd go to the Irish House. Like, all the different countries have their house, but the Irish House is just a pub, and every night just all the different countries would come flooding into the Irish House. Like, everyone wanted to be around, like, the Irish supporters and stuff. And yeah, like the rowing, even at the rowing venue, I'd say nearly half the support was Irish. And even at the running, where you have the Americans and British, you'd still hear the chants from all the Irish. So yeah,
I'd say you didn't get a moment's peace either in there, did you?
It's kind of nice though. Yeah, we were cycling through the city one day in a place where supporters probably shouldn't have been, and some lad came flying out of a cafe to pull us over. So like, it's just savage, the support and the amount, and boys genuinely recognizing you, and you're like, oh, there's no way, they just see the shirt, but then they're telling you about your race and how they washed it and what happened with this boat, and you're like, geez, you actually watched the thing, and they're like, yeah, we love it.
I mean, we have to talk about as well being out with your family out there as well to celebrate that big moment as well. What was that like?
Yeah, like my brothers, they claim they're it was harder for them than it was for me, because I even asked my mom, saying, oh, it's much harder for us than you, only have to get in a race, like, we have to wait around, we have no control over the whole thing. And my brother was saying, like, he was even crying before the race, like, he couldn't, like, just the nerves. So yeah, it's crazy, like, how much it means to the family and how much, like, support they were giving for us.
And your mom said she couldn't even watch the first half. She went off to say a prayer, wasn't it?
Yeah, and to be honest, the next day we watched the two lads in the pair, and I actually felt nervous watching their race too, so you get a little bit of a sniff of it, because you can't control the outcome for them. You just have to, like, kind of shout them on, and you know they can't hear you, but you're shouting anyway. So, yeah, it is going to be stressful for them, but unfortunately they don't have to sit in the boat and kill themselves for 6 minutes, so they're actually getting the good side of it.
And were the two of you up in Dublin as well for the official homecoming as
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously great and everything, but for you particularly, coming back to Clonmel, how important is this night?
It's obviously a lot bigger than the, because I think of all the everyone I've been talking to anyway, I think the support from Clonmel has probably been the best. Like, the that video has been doing the rounds of all the guys down watching in the plaza, like, it's mad. So I'm really looking forward to this homecoming, because I think, especially because we're the rowers, like, they don't really recognised as much in Dublin, so like, it's very good just to be home and where they're actually gonna have been supporting us and they'll recognise more. Yeah.
And have the people of Clonmel been kind of adopting you as one of their own?
Yeah, well, there's a guy chatting to me there for about 5 minutes, and then I was like, I'm Phil, you know, not Dara, and he was like, all right, yeah. He's like, God, these are two very similar looking lads. I was like, fair enough. I suppose he's just seen the poster that's up in the roundabout. But even Marty Morrissey asked which one was which on the stage the other day. But so, like, the Dublin thing was the Dublin thing was the Kelly Arrington retirement party, which is
I suppose I'll leave you off then with one final question, because I know you want to get back to all the celebrations. How are you going to celebrate tonight? And then after that, what's next in the long term?
Tonight, I haven't made any plans really. I'll see how many of my friends and stuff are around and then go from there. And then, long term, I don't know, should we kick on for the gold?
There's a few hard conversations need to be had for the next 4 years, but rowing takes more than it gives. So yeah. I think a lot of things would need to change for the circumstances, a bit more freedom in the sport to be able to train alone away from Cork, which would be brilliant. Like, Cork's class, but Your life has to push on. Daz wants to get a bit of studying in and get a bit more of a career plan going, and I need to start to kick down the career a little bit. He's a girlfriend over in the States, and I have a girlfriend back up home. So, you know, you're spending time away a lot is big strain. So
a huge part of it is definitely just having the flexibility to train ourselves. And I think if we can just set up, say, no, we're not going to be there, and train ourselves, I think it'll be possible then.
And we've set down a marker now that we can be trusted to train, and we can turn up and give the results, and we can work hard without supervision too. So I think that's the platform we can push on from.
Yeah, well, that's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Cheers. And enjoy the rest of the evening. You well deserve it.
Thanks very much. Sports Beat Extra.
In the capital, all of Team Ireland were welcomed home to thousands upon thousands of Irish supporters following the Paris Games on Monday. Aisling O'Reilly spoke to Wexford's Sophie Becker, Tipperary's Charlene Maudsley and Cork's Phil Healy following their fourth place finish in the women's 4x400 metre relay final.
Girls, congratulations on an unbelievable Olympics. I hope you can feel all the support back home. Sophie, can you take it in? What you've achieved, what does it feel like for yourself at the minute?
Oh, I think, like, we're all numb in a good way too. It's still, like, it's still taking time to sink in. Like, obviously you saw in our interview we were disappointed, but time's a great healer, and, like, even as the days go by we're realizing, like, we were fourth at the Olympics. Like, that's incredible. So we're happy. Yeah.
And, like, growing up, Charlene, is this what you always dreamt of, to represent Ireland at an Olympics, to compete, to be up there with the best in the world?
Yeah, I think specifically more in the last few years that it's kind of been a dream for me to, you know, step out and represent my country at the highest stage. And, you know, like Sophie just said, like, we came fourth, and that was on the biggest stage in the whole entire world. You'll not get bigger than the Olympic Games. So, yeah, that kind of just gave me goosebumps when you said it, because I'm now kind of appreciating what we actually did. It's disappointing that we don't have a little bit of jewellery around our neck to represent it, but no, we're proud of the performance now, and it's just amazing to see what we're doing for young girls. I really didn't think that we were making that much of an impact whatsoever. So I'm a bit starstruck today that so many people came out to see us. But yeah, it's amazing.
And I know you were disappointed after the race, but like when you think it was your fastest leg that you ran, does that give you a little bit of a consolation in a way that like you competed at the top and you put in your best performance at the top stage?
Yeah, it is bittersweet because it's hard. Like you run the fastest you've ever ran before, but you still fall short. So obviously that is hard, but I am learning to appreciate it. You know, I stepped up, all of the girls stepped up. We ran our fastest every time, 3 seconds off the national record. And that time, it's bittersweet, but would have won a medal, a silver medal in any Olympics except in 1988. And when I heard that afterwards, I was like, okay, I think it's the 8th fastest all-time ever performance. So it's so special that we were able to do that together.
Well, the whole country stopped. There was matches all over the country on Saturday evening. Everyone stopped. Like, I was playing a GA match. Everyone was on their phones looking. Like, it meant a lot to a lot of people. And I know it's hard at the minute that you came fourth, but fourth in the world. I hope it's hitting you, like, what you've done.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely so, so special. And, like, it was crazy to see the nation, I suppose, come to a standstill, and not just Ireland, like so many people that we have supporting across the world, and the impact that it did have. And like, I suppose that's great to, I suppose, bring the country together as well, and to come away with fourth. Like, even just athletics is such a hard sport, and what it takes to get to an Olympic Games, and how this team has developed. Like 2 years ago the national record was 3:26 and now it's 3:19, so like it's a special time for 400 metre running in Ireland. And like the three girls had their individual events as well, so yeah, to have three individual athletes in the same event is incredible too.
Tracking sport across the southeast. Sports Beat Extra.
In what will likely go down as a comeback for Tipperary supporters to remember for years to come, the Premier County didn't let last year's defeat in the All-Ireland Premier Junior Camogie Final repeat itself, as they came from 4 points down at half-time to clinch the K-Mills Cup from Leash's grasp. While undefeated in the group matches, the knockout stages of the All-Ireland have been anything but a walk in the park for Tip. After narrowly making it past Armagh at the semi-final stages, the first half of the final didn't start the way the Premier County had hoped.
From the word go, Leash came at us and we found ourselves in a bit of a hole at half time, you know. But we kept the heads, I suppose. We know exactly what we have in our team, and we know the strength and especially the heart as well. And look, that got us over the line in the finish. We stood up, we showed our character like we do in every single game. It showed against the Armagh game in the semi-final, and the same thing again today.
It was almost poetic that Sinead Maher celebrated the victory with manager Bill Mullany, who has been coaching the Tipperary captain for most of her inter-county career.
Sure, I mean, it's exactly as Sinead said there, like, Leash came out and we, it was the last thing we said going out, that Leash are going to come out and really, like, come at us hard, as you would expect in an All-Ireland final. And they really stuck it to us in the first half. We couldn't, say, perform or get our game going or get our flow going, and that's a credit to Leash. You know, they outworked us, outhooked us, outblocked us. But again, at half-time, we just said we needed to up the work rate, commit to our own principles of play, and come out and produce. We could die on our feet or we could go home at half-time, one or the other, and I'm delighted for them that they came out. They worked our hook and our block and our work and our everything, like, you know, came. But that's within these players, the Tip girls, like, they just came out and worked hard, as you would expect in an All-Ireland final. You know, we I thought in the end probably deserved that we were on top. We were going forward. We probably looked like, you know, we could have got another one or two. It was in that half, you know what I mean? But you're right, in the first half, you know, we could have been a lot worse off at half-time too, but luckily we got a foothold in the game in the last 5 or 6 minutes, you know, the first half, you know.
What makes the victory even sweeter for Tip is that it's been 23 years in the making. The last time Tipperary won the All-Ireland Premier Junior Final was in 2001. Maher is absolutely delighted to be an All-Ireland champ once again.
Beat Leash by the point, but that's all it takes to win a game, and I'm absolutely delighted for myself and for this man here beside me, Bill Mullany, who is... all year has given us so much, and I'm so happy he has this now as well.
This is Sports Beat Extra.
Waterford hurling fans received some good news last week as Peter Queeley was named manager of the senior hurling team following Davy Fitzgerald's departure at the beginning of July. I'm joined now by Tomás McCarthy to get the lowdown on the new Daisha boss. I mean, Tomás, Waterford supporters will likely be aware of who Peter Queeley is, but for those who maybe don't have their ear to the ground, what should fans know?
Well, Peter gave great service to the Waterford hurlers during the 90s and noughties. Audrin, he played halfback in midfield. He won a Munster title in 2002 under Justin McCarthy. A very wholehearted player, got the absolute best out of himself. Really committed player. Maybe not the most skillful, but You know, really wore his heart on his sleeve. And like he's coached a whole load of Waterford club teams, most notably Passage. He led them to county success in 2013. He also guided Abbeyside and Rowan Moore to county finals as well. He managed the Waterford under-21s for 2 years in 2013 and 2014. And he's had two stints as selector with the Waterford senior hurlers, both under David Fitzgerald in 08 and 09, and also over the past two seasons. So I'm sure Peter will be looking to build on the performances that Waterford produced this past summer.
Yeah, and as it comes to with all Waterford GAA news or hurling news in particular, I always consult the trusty handbook that you yourself wrote a few years back. And I note that there is obviously a section on Peter in it. I have to ask then, do you think he'll still be listening to tapes of Tony Quinn before game day, or do you think that time is well and truly passed?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Audrey, but yeah, it was very, very interesting to find out that, you know, Peter listened to Tony Quinn as kind of a little bit of, you know, mindfulness, or, you know, to get himself ready for Championship Day. You know, Peter, he had a very, very tough exterior. He was a hardy midfielder, but you know, behind it all, you know, he's really a player's man. Players really buy in, you know, to what he says as well. So I'm sure they'll be delighted to have him back on board for 2025.
Yeah, and of course, looking obviously towards the panel selection for next year, obviously he has that experience under Davey as being the selector, and then alongside that he would have known a lot of the players as well. It's not the first time he's put his hat in the ring for the Waterford job. He did it previously before Davey was appointed. Do you think that having worked with Davey will put him in a very good spot now when judging the panel for next season?
I think so, Audrey, and also the fact that like he has like Tipperary legend Owen Kelly back on board as well, who was with Peter and David Fitzgerald over the past 2 years as well. John Matthews is staying on as strength and conditioning coach as well. You know, so there's, you know, the foundations are already in place. You know, the players are very familiar with the setup, but you also have the freshness as well of, you know, Dan Shannon come on board, terrific coach, was there under Derek McGrath for 5 years, and also Shane O'Sullivan coming in as performance coach as well. And I think that's a real benefit. I think this is a job that Peter has wanted all along. As you mentioned, he's applied for it in the past. I think he's applied for it on 3 or 4 different occasions, but I think he's really in a good position on this occasion to give it a good rattle because of the people that he has around him and the experience that he's built up over the years.
Yeah, and do you think there'll be much of a change in the vision there, obviously, from the 2 years with Davey, or do you think Peter will kind of continue on what he had been building?
I think we'll see a very similar style to what we saw this past summer. Obviously, there was a change of tactics between what we saw in 2023 and what we saw in 2024. You know, definitely Waterford, you know, went more direct, went more man-to-man, you could say, and I definitely think that Peter will try and continue that on. And like, you know, with Dan Shannon in the backroom team, you know, I've no doubt we'll see a similar style to what we saw over the past summer.
Sports Beat Extra. Beat 102-103.
That's it for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back on our website, beat102103.com/podcasts. Now, coming up next, Kirsten has the soundtrack to your Saturday night, Beat Anthems.